Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back. All right, all you positive heads. Welcome, welcome. Here we grow again. So grateful to be back with you as always. And today I am not flying solo. I have some wonderful divine feminine energy flowing around. I have Amber Haley and Jess Koch here with me on the show. Hello, ladies. Welcome, welcome.
Hi, Brandon.
It's so good to have you both, and you're both such good sports playing along with my latest and greatest adventure, experiment, if you will, in co-creating with the listeners. And, you know, it originally came up, for those of you who haven't heard, I did this recently where I actually took questions live on the show, and that came from a longtime suggestion from a dear friend of mine, Ronit, who, you know, was like, Brandon, you need to bring people on. That's like one of the best things that one of her favorite things is seeing me sort of sit and work with people in person. And she continued to kind of persist. And then we had a great synchronicity where, you know, it was written on the side of a billboard right after she talked to me about it to call Brandon. So here we are, and you two are playing along, and I really appreciate you doing so, and hopefully it will be beneficial and we can shine some light on the questions that you both have. They're both you know, really good. You gave me a little insight into what you wanted to ask. So I have a feeling a lot of people are going to resonate with what you both want to get out there and want some clarity on.
I'm so grateful to be here and ready to dive in.
All right. So why don't we do that? Because who knows how long I ramble. we got a couple of questions. And if for some reason it's on the shorter side, I actually have one that was written in as well that I thought was a good one. And the person who wrote in was Amy, and she, Amy Millar, and she couldn't actually jump on. So I kind of have that as a third hanging in the wind, if you will, depending on how long we go with you, Amber, and you, Jess. All right, Amber, why don't we go ahead and start off with you, and you can let me know what's bubbling up for you and that you'd like to sort of dive into today and explore perspectives on.
Okay. I've been on my spiritual path for about 2 years now, and I've actually grown a lot over those last 2 years. And I noticed recently with the people that are close to me that have watched me take this journey, that there's been a couple of instances where they have shown me how differently I think than most people, which is not a problem. However, I have a desire to help the masses. And so my question is, how do you bridge the gap between how I think on a spiritual level versus other people? Most people aren't conscious.
Right. So are you, so you're having conversations with people and it's just not landing? They're not seeming to receive it well, or?
So what I'm what's being presented to me is basically if I'm too far outside somebody's comfort zone, they're going to shut down and they're going to disconnect. So right. if I'm experiencing that with the people that are already on their spiritual path and they are open to some of these spiritual concepts, then how do I start a conversation with somebody that has no path that they're on? They're completely unconscious at this point.
Right, right, right. This so reminds me of early on in my own journey where, you know, and you probably heard me talk about it on the show before, where it's like in the early days, I was reading information and I was so lit up over, you know, all of this information that was this expanding perspective that was happening so rapidly to me. And I'm kind of looking around saying, how is everyone not getting this or seeing this or receiving this? And I would talk to anyone who'd listen and people would kind of look at me a little crazy, like a little like, okay, what are you smoking, Brandon? Or or it was a lot of, that's really interesting perspective on the ultimate nature of reality, and go right back to whatever it is they thought before. Right. So is that sort of what you're having an experience of? People are kind of like, you know, just shutting down and looking at you like you're crazy, or just not, you know, not feeling what you're talking about?
Pretty much. They just, it's too far outside of their comfort zone at this point. They cannot get there, which yeah. I understand. It took me a while to get to some of these concepts as well. But again, how do I help the masses if I can't have a conversation with people already on their path?
So your biggest issue is those that even are already sort of open-minded to some degree and then aren't, you know, you start talking and it's like, hold on, Amber just drove us off the cliff kind of thing and took it too far.
Pretty much, yes.
Do you have any examples? Do you have any examples of, you know, maybe a topic or a conversation that comes to mind where this has happened?
I do. It's not something that I've discussed with a lot of people, but I feel like this one will pretty much drive people off the cliff. So I lost somebody very close to me about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you know, you have to go through the grief process, but fortunately my beliefs carried me through that. But I'm coming to a point where I am thankful for that event. And to say that to somebody, I think right. that'd be a little too far outside of their comfort zone. You know?
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a great, great example, by the way. I'm glad I asked that. And, you know, the first thing that I want to start off with that it took me a long time to get is we're not here to, you know, sort of convince anyone of anything, right? It's... And that's one of the greatest gifts for me doing the show is now people, it turns out I haven't held a gun to anyone's head and made them listen to the show. And they're actually tuning in of their own accord. So that's been a really, really great thing for me to sort of get this desire out to expand people's perspectives, starting with my own, right? And so for me, that was a game changer, right? Finding an outlet where I could put out some of my concepts and let people opt in instead of me, you know, sort of forcing it down their throat, if you will. So that's something that, Amber, first off, you might want to consider is some sort of way, even if it's like starting a blog, right? Where you take on that exact topic. Right. And you put that out there and let people, you know, choose to hear about it. That being said, I think the biggest thing for all of us that are excitedly sort of, you know, expanding our perspectives on the ultimate nature of reality is really part of our own refinement and our own growth is learning to respect other people's journey. And it's not something where we have to convince them or convert them in any way, shape or form. And that's like that was a big, big, big lesson for me. And I'll still catch myself sometimes. It's like if you start getting into sort of argumentative, me versus you kind of energy, then it's sort of you've lost, right? It's right. Taken it down a path that isn't really being productive any longer. So one of the ways that I think is a really good way to teach and to help people, I don't even like the word teach, to help empower people to see the perspective or an expanded perspective, is asking questions, right? So instead of asking questions that maybe lead people down to the answer themselves, right? Like, mm-hmm. So let's say someone is really upset about the loss of your friend from a year ago, and you're talking, and you want to share your perspective, but you also don't want to offend them. You know, what if you were to ask Amber the question? So I'm curious, what are your thoughts about, you know, the idea of this all being, you know, this all being sort of a game, and this is really a blip in eternity. And when someone, you know, I read something not so long ago where it talked about when you pass, it's like deciding to step out of a movie and, you know, go into another theater, right? You've had enough of that particular movie. And, you know, or sharing like the book we've been reading from, Journey of Souls. Like, you know, I was reading this book and this perspective is, you know, that this is all just a stage, and we actually there's this much bigger narrative playing, you know, and asking someone, what do you think about that? How does that you know, that idea resonate with you, and then get them sort of answering the question or pondering something, but it's you're sort of inquisitively asking them, you know what I mean? To get them to come to expand their own perspective. It's like a lot of times if you can let other people feel as if they're finding the answer, it's way more empowering if you lead people to the answer themselves. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and it seems like it's empowering somebody else to come to their own conclusions, or at least question what they think already.
Yeah, yeah, and when it's something that's really sensitive, like death, right? You know, we've been conditioned to believe that that's a really awful thing. It's sad. It's tragic. It's bad, especially if it happened under circumstances like, you know, unexpected or in maybe quote unquote negative experiences in negative from, you know, like it was sudden or they got murdered or whatever. So, you know, I think the most important thing we can do is really choose our words really carefully and really honor the other person's perspective and sort of if it does go down the rabbit hole of interactivity and you're kind of going there, just, you know, being very, very aware and sensitive to the other person's perspective. And maybe even say that, say, look, I understand this is challenging for a lot of people as I share this perspective that I've come to. And all I can say is it's brought me great comfort, right? It's brought me to a place of, you know, once I've applied it for myself, it's worked really, really well to make me feel okay with everything. And to, you know, actually trust the process of, you know, what's going on behind the scenes that's bigger than myself, that, you know, that has a perfectly good reason for what's transpired. Right. And I may not be able to see all that, but I have this deeply, it's led me to this deeply profound trust and faith that, you know, it's like I always say with a lot of the concepts we talk about on the show, it's like, apply it for yourself and see where it gets you. Right? It's like test the waters. If you have an open mind, expand these, explore these perspectives, and see where it gets you. And what you'll find is it leads to really, really good results and feel, you know, and increased, you know, peace with what is, and you know, just overall a more pleasant journey. Most people find. And so if you sort of can explain it in a way like you're not saying they're wrong, you're just saying, you know, very tactfully explaining why it's worked for you. If that feels right, if someone is in a charged place and they're really reactive and angry and upset, it's probably not, you know, the ideal time to sort of train share your perspective so much.
No.
You know?
No.
So it's like reading.
Real quick?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Just to play into, you know, really getting a sense of where the person you're trying to connect with is at, I find it's extremely helpful to really observe the person that you're trying to connect with and use their language to speak your truth to them.
Yeah, that's great advice.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, mirroring. It's a big thing. And, you know, for example, in sales, like that's one of the number one things they kind of teach you. Sales 101 is like, oh, mirror the person, mirror, you know, what they're what it is that they're sharing, or that if they're talking fast and, you know, moving fast and certain energy, the more you mirror that, the more they can relate. If they're slow and, you know, quiet, then if you mirror that, then they can relate. So I think that's a great piece of advice.
And all we're selling is some awareness. So
yes, right. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. And just putting questions back to them, and just sort of questions that lead them to explore and consider an expanded perspective. I think that's probably the safest way to get your message across without triggering, just saying, well, you know, what do you think about this idea? You know, have you ever considered this? It's something that I've considered. I'd like to know what you think about it. And they may not come to the same conclusion even, or, you know, you'll see them kind of like, it's like kind of like the dog tilting its head. It's like all of a sudden it's thinking about it from an angle it hadn't. And you haven't said it in a way that is caused them to be defensive. Rather mm-hmm. inquisitive. It's, you know what I mean?
Right. Yep. I really like that approach, because it doesn't seem like it would shut them down, because they're the ones that are coming to their own conclusions. You're not projecting anything
right
to them.
Right. Right. There's a great book by Dan Millman I read many years ago, Way of the Peaceful Warrior. I don't know if either of you are familiar with it, but there's a character in it. Socrates is his name, and he's teaching. He's sort of the guru type energy in the story, in the flow of the book, and a lot of like posing questions back to, you know, the main character, posing questions. Okay. And I believe this is a tool that has been used by a lot of, you know, sort of people taking on a role of teacher, or, you know, the enlightened master kind of approach, asking questions back to the student, if you will. And I think it's just a very, very powerful thing and very powerful tool to use. And once again, just realizing, you know, Amber, you don't need to convince anyone of anything. And it's not our job to save people. And I think that's sort of a stopping off point for each and every one of us on our own journey to becoming the next greatest and grandest version of ourselves, as we all sort of wake up and become more conscious and move into this next phase of our own personal evolution. We then have decided, like, it's a innocent mistake to make, I guess you could say, and well-intended, but oh, I'm awake now and I see all this so clearly and it's all clicking and everyone else should too. They should be on the same, you know, place in their own path and journey that I am. And that's not correct, right? We're all on our own unique, you know, we're on all on our own unique trajectory. You know, if you were to expand someone's perspective at a time, let's say you could force it down someone's throat who wasn't catching it or ready to receive it. But you were somehow able to force it, right? And against their will even. And then all of a sudden now they have this expanded perspective like you do. And so it's now led them to this more peaceful state like you have. But yet their soul wanted to play out, sort of the anguish, if you will, or the state, the negative state that they were in, perhaps. It wanted to experience that longer so it could have more contrast for when they do find their way out. So now you've sort of robbed them of the plan of their own soul because you've judged where they're at as being somehow inferior to where you're at. And it's really not the case, right? It's all happening in perfect divine timing. It's for in each of us is there is no one to compare ourselves to because we're our own unique emanations of source on our own very unique trajectory back to, you know, source, if you will.
I would absolutely agree with that. So it's more of taking a gentler approach with people.
Yeah.
And I can see how that would be a better approach indeed.
Yep.
And really connecting and just asking the questions and kind of mirroring their own language and seeing where it goes.
Yes. Yes, exactly. With no attachment, you don't need to save anyone or anything. You know, your obligation to do that is to yourself. That's the only one. And each person, you know, and let's not be so arrogant as to think we need to do that for anyone else. They can work out their own, you know, their own karma, if you will, their own trajectory, if you will. They're all as much divine as we are, even in a state of unconsciousness, even if they're, you know, wallowing in misery or self-doubt or judgment or, you know, any of those things. That's just, you know, an emanation of source that is choosing that at that point in time. And who are we to say, you know, that we need to interrupt that necessarily? We can always, as people who want to help those who are ready to help themselves, it's great to be able to put our feelers out and kind of see where it goes and, you know, test the waters, if you will, in a very gentle way and follow the threads of energy. If it's openings are happening with that person and you can see it's going somewhere, well, maybe that's part of your soul contract with that person is to help play that role at that time. If all the doors are shut and it's in the energy is showing, nope, not ready to receive you, then honor that, right? And that's kind of the playful way we can test the waters, right? We can like, let's test the waters here. I feel inspired to share. Is this person inspired to receive? And how can I do that in the most graceful, artistic way possible? Like be the artist to even find my way through the sort of the barriers they may have up. But if those barriers are coming down in a hard way that's pushing back really hard, then you have your answer. And it's not really something you need to force down anyone's throat.
I love that. It feels so playful when you put it in that way. And that's exactly the energy that I want to project. I want it to be fun.
Yes.
And interactive.
Yes. 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 And if you can bring on the perspective, that whole perspective to it, then, you know, it's just a playful, joyous, you know, Easter egg hunt in a sense. Right. Oh, let's see what's around this corner. Let me test the waters here. Oh, OK. Oh, this one shut me down. So maybe the test is for me not to force it. Maybe I'm the one that's meant to grow here from this, not them. Right.
Right.
Well, that was a wonderful question and a wonderful rabbit hole to dive down. And thank you so much, Amber, for coming on and asking and sharing. And hopefully it helps.
Absolutely. I'm definitely going to work on that approach and, you know, see if I can get out there and try these different techniques with other people that are unconscious and see where it goes.
Yes, and I'd love to hear your feedback on how that works for you as you playfully, you know, expand your repertoire of tools and approaches to, you know, once again, at the end of the day, it's all happening for you, right? Including all the people who aren't receptive.
That is correct. Thank you so much, Brandon. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Amber. All right, Miss Jess. So thank you for your wonderful addition to that last topic as well. That was great.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jess. So, I appreciate it.
Yeah, and Amber, feel free to hang on if you know on the line if you like, and if you have anything to chime in, you're welcome to. And now, Jess, why don't we go ahead and let's explore your question.
Sure. So a bit of a backstory. I
just got out of a 6-year, very intense relationship. I've been in other relationships before, but this was the first time that I felt like this was it. And that feeling has stuck with me. I still feel the same, even though the relationship has ended. I've worked very diligently to bring myself to a place of acceptance. And there's been times where I've really felt like I'm faking it till I make it. And that's done me a disservice. In the long run, I feel like I've started the war internally with myself, trying to put myself in a place that I'm very clearly not ready to be yet. And so my question really is, how do I become okay not being in a situation that every indicator was telling me was in line with Source?
Right. So the relationship, just so I'm clear, so the relationship was a long, powerful one. It is now ended, and you're having trouble letting go of the relationship.
Yes, and we've done a lot of, I guess, what's been talked about as uncoupling. I still see my ex as my closest confidant. And that makes it really hard because I feel like I don't really have space to grow past him. But at the same time, I want to keep him there because he's so close to me.
Right. I think there's a great insight into one of the things that I would recommend doing is taking time for the energetic uncoupling to really happen. Right. It's like when we, especially as long, 6 years, that's a long relationship. Your energy fields are so merged. I mean, we've all seen the couple that have been together for 30 years and they look like twins. Right. I mean, their energy fields are so intertwined. They become such close reflections of each other. They start looking like each other half the time. And so I think that's really important to understand. Now, if you are having these feelings, yet how often do you continue to interact with this person?
Well, he actually is the father of my child. So, it's still pretty regular interaction and we're completely friendly. We get along great. That really wasn't the issue. We were never big fighters or anything. It's just very difficult to feel like I have any independence when he's still such a big part.
Right. How fresh is this, the split?
We split up in October, so it's pretty fresh.
Yeah, that's very fresh still for a relationship as intense as that, and as long as that. I think one of the things is important now. Before I kind of give some of my thoughts, are you feeling like there's a mistake made? Like, is it something where you want to get back together and they don't, or is it, like you are a big part of the separation?
I was a big part of the separation, but it's very confusing. I feel like I have kind of held the sword and the whole decision of it, that it was my choice to break it off like it happened. And I feel the full impact of making that choice, that it was my choice and that it may not have been the right choice, but I'm trying to just leave myself be with that. That maybe it wasn't, but I can't know.
Right. If you were to try and rectify and get, get back together, if you will, would he be open to that, do you think?
I'm not really sure how that would even be approachable.
Gotcha.
I guess I'm not really sure of the self-work I need to do to make myself available that way to him.
Right. And I'm not saying that that's what you should do. I'm just trying to get an idea into where your head's at, you know?
Yeah, part of me definitely would like it to just go back to how it was, for sure. Part of me desperately feels that, but part of me definitely doesn't feel that.
Mm-hmm. Would you agree that this happening has sort of pushed you out onto a growth edge that you wouldn't have had if you separated?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what I say about all relationship is it's always happening for growth. We come together because there's an opportunity for mutual growth. When that opportunity for mutual growth has sort of played itself out, has been, experienced to the fullest, I believe a natural separation occurs. One of the biggest misconceptions I see in our culture is this idea that a relationship has to last forever to be successful, not understanding that we're meant to come together with people as long as that opportunity for growth is playing itself out. And once it's, sort of been realized, a natural separation occurs so that we can grow through other means on our own, finding that mm-hmm. self-love and, or possibly with other partners and or all of the above, right? When you were mm-hmm. within your relationship, was the growth sort of stagnant?
About a year and a half ago, it felt like, yeah, everything was very stagnant. And it was at that point that I turned inward, and that was when I started seeing things that I had done that had caused issues that I needed to rectify. So I began mm-hmm. that work. I began that then. And at the time that we actually split, so just 6 months ago, I still felt like I was doing a lot of growing, but I felt like the mm-hmm. majority of that was not, it wasn't facilitated by the relationship. It was facilitated by what I had learned I had done in the relationship.
Right. Right. And were you growing it at different ways or different at a part? What I find is a lot of times one person will start really expanding and expediting their own awareness. Their consciousness is expanding, their understandings of the ultimate nature of reality are expanding. And then the other partner is sort of not necessarily coming along on that ride. Is that a scenario that was happening by chance?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay. Pretty much as soon as I got the notion in my head that I was connected to source, that's when it really mm-hmm. occurred to me that we were quite separate in our understandings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that, I guess that because it's so common. and so, is part, and I have a lot of questions here because I'm just really trying to get into the deep understanding of where you're sitting. Are you now struggling with issues of like, I won't necessarily find someone as good, fear of loss, like there's a limited amount of quality partners and I'm sort of throwing one away and I need to settle, is there any of that energy coming up for you?
Not so much in they're lacking other people around me or other mm-hmm. people that I vibrate with, but mm-hmm. it's more like your episode yesterday where you're talking about the twin flames and soulmates. It's that kind of feeling that and through this whole process, even of me at the point understanding how unhealthy we were, some part mm-hmm. of me demanded that I hold space for this situation. And I feel mm-hmm. like I'm struggling with holding space for something that definitely wasn't healthy, but needs room mm-hmm. to grow, while at the same mm-hmm. time, not emotionally subjecting myself to the full pain of holding that space, because it's extremely difficult.
Yeah. Right. Right. Well, you know, I think we've all heard the saying, if you know, you love someone, set them free, and if they're right, they'll come back, right? And so perhaps that could be part of, you know, obviously you have a deep and profound and powerful contract, soul contract with this individual. You have a child together, right? And so that it makes it's totally natural that you would feel so drawn and connected to them. And I've certainly had experiences where I get out of a relationship and it's like not even a second thought about the person in some ways. You know, it's like, well, I'm glad that's over. You look back a year later and like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? But I've also had the experiences of, oh my gosh, I miss that person's energy so much. And there's, you know, and I could have done better and, you know, all of those things. So, so I think all of this is like a natural, anything in between, it's all a part of like the human experience. I think there's a reason I've had both types of experiences. And so, you know, if you can, from what I'm hearing, you were stagnant in your growth. Now it's causing a lot of growth. It's really causing you to move deeply into yourself and you know, cultivate self-love. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is if, you know, imagine, Jess, if you can just trust that exactly what's right for you will happen, and not because you're making a decision out of fear. It's like, you know, someone said to me the other day, it's like, if it's not a fuck yes, it's a fuck no. Right. And so exactly. if you have mixed energy about it, that is a great example of, or a great indicator, if you will, that you need some time and space to figure it out yourself. You don't need to, certainly don't make the decision to jump back in because of fear of loss. And it doesn't sound like that's so much what's happening with you, you know, in that you think your options are going to be too limited or anything else. And, you know, that story of, oh, I'm getting older and I get better settle while I can and all that. So I'm really glad to hear that's not happening, because that's like, that's a one that really plagues a lot of people. Right.
And yeah, I've actually decided that I need a nice long break to just focus on myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and that's, in honoring that is super important. 6 months is not very long for 6 years compared to 6 years. Right. So there is always going to be energetic ties there as the father of your child, you know, and you're going to always love and care about that person no matter what. They're always going to have a special place in your heart. And I think that's, you know, and then I think we look at that sometimes and we're like confused by that. It's like, you know, every significant former partner that I've had has a special place in my heart. And my heart has so much more room for other potentials too. It's not, you know, like, oh, because I have feelings for this person, I've got to now be with them. You know what I mean? That's just not, right. I think we get confused by those signals. Right. And I think it's obvious to me from what you're saying is taking time is paramount and key for you. And it's not meant to be super easy. It's not meant to be, you know, just a walk in the park for you. And it's meant to be challenging you. Oh, are you going to give in and like sort of, you know, throw yourself back into something when you've said it yourself? I know I feel I need more time to cultivate my own energy. And a lot of times if there's not an alignment on the spiritual path kind of thing, to me, that is the ultimate deal breaker. It's like, how can I really have intimacy with, you know, into me see when you're not seeing into me and you're not even resonating on that level. It's like the most foundational thing ever. It's like, you know, a human trying to date of some other species, a dolphin. Yeah, right. And it doesn't mean they're wrong. Like we talked about earlier with Amber, they're perfect on their own journey back to source and their own understanding, and it will come in their time. It may come in this life. It may come in another life. They're right where they need to be. And if we move into this really deep, every time you're feeling that love and connection, honor it, but also honor the the self-love that you're the number one thing you're here to cultivate, and how it's causing friction in order for you to really focus in on that. And, you know, and also focus on the abundance of who and what you are. It's like, part of that is like, you want a connection with someone. And you can first off have that connection. All that love that you want to experience is all within yourself. Right. And that's why it's so important, like meditation and tapping into this source of infinite love that is within ourselves, and knowing that it can be brought to you in a myriad of ways. Like, there is no shortage the ways that source can bring you what is, you know, what it is you seek in a reflection, what you would prefer to have. And as soon as you get to the point where you're really, really comfortable with your situation, it's like in yourself, then you'll see a new opportunity. Or maybe your ex-partner will all of a sudden have a, you know, major breakthrough, and it will be meant to come back together. Perhaps, you know, or, you know, source can sort of deliver that energy to you in so many ways. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. Have you ever seen the movie Family Man?
No, nope.
Okay. It's a really good movie, with Nicolas Cage from years ago, where he was like the super rich guy. And then all of a sudden he stepped into an alternate timeline where he's a family man. He went from like being the Ferrari driving executive to like the, you know, the average Joe kind of thing. And he was so like wanted back to his old life so badly, you know? And then, you know, as he was stuck in this new, more quote unquote mundane, you know, kind of existence, he got more and more, you know, he had this beautiful family, and he had this beautiful, you know, this wife that he didn't have in the other life. And once he fully towards, you know, later in the movie, I don't want to ruin it for everyone, but once he really got like, he got comfortable in his new life, then all of a sudden he had the option to go back, and he was like, didn't want to go back anymore. Right. And that's all he had wanted early on. And I think that is that's what comes to mind for me, you know, and I highly recommend anyone to check out that movie. I absolutely love it. And, you know, getting to that place where you're really comfortable with your new life, and then explore if you would want to go back. Right. Because you made the choice, you've made the decision, you've went down this path, you've already, you know, it's not a, you know, fuck yes for you at this point. So, you know, so stay the course with what you've done. And if you're feeling those feelings, move into them and honor them. And, you know, yes, you're going to continue your heart. You know, there's really no easy solution. Stop seeking a solution to stop the pain that maybe goes with it. Right. Our hearts are meant
definitely
to ache. It's a big part of this human experience. Like, you know, it's like it's the whole idea of being willing to have your heart trampled 1,000 times and maybe on the and then so that on the 1,001st, you sort of. You get the grand prize that yeah. So many people shut their heart down, or like, oh, if I'm feeling, you know, any sort of pangs of, you know, missing, or, you know, any of those things of someone that's in my former life, then there's something, you know, there's something wrong. I mean, I've talked about it before, you know, not my most recent partner, but the one before that, to me, it definitely feels like a soulmate energy. And there's a lot of synchronicity that ties into my birthday synchronicities that I've talked about on the show. And I actually just looked up, just out of curiosity, our destiny cards, and you can put them together and see the relationship card. And that was the first description, the only description of any I've looked at. And it's like, oh, this is a soulmate energy. It was like a good confirmation for me. So this is someone who's no longer in my life. They're engaged to someone else. We don't even speak. And, you know, it's been years and years. And I had a dream like last week where I'm just literally like sobbing over this person. And I woke up hyperventilating, and I'm like, what, why is this even still here? Right. What is this energy that I literally woke up out of the dream kind of hyperventilating. And it's like, you know, for a long time it was like, oh, how do I like put it out of my head or out of my heart? And it's like, I don't need to. I need to just integrate it and honor it and allow it to be. And it's been, you know, in that case, that's been like 4 years or something, or more, four or five years. Even more than that, actually. As I think about the dates that we met, it's like to like 2012. Like, wow, time flies, and there's still that like deep, profound love, because this person I know is deeply connected at a soul level on in a way that I haven't sort of experienced prior or since, right? So I think that's, you know, just allowing it to be and honoring that, but also honoring your process and knowing that what it sounds to me, everything that you've shared with me is you've made, you're doing the right thing. And it's not meant to be super simple. And if this person is not on the same path with you from, you know, a spiritual perspective, to me, that is the ultimate indicator. I know I did the right thing because, you know, there's just that, that is, you know, how can you have intimacy if you, you know, they can't see into you? They're not seeing what you're seeing. They're on a whole different playing field. They're on a whole different trajectory. So I hope that helped, Jess. You know, I know it's not saying here's the solution to solve it. It's rather accept it. And by accepting it more and more and where you're at with it and the sort of pangs that your heart feels as a part of it, I believe that does make it easier. And it's, you know, what we resist persist and what we accept, we ultimately will move through and it will get easier. I do believe that.
Thank you very much, Brandon. That definitely helped.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear it. And I'm so grateful that you and Amber came on and did this. This is such a wonderful way to co-create and share and to grow together. So this has been absolutely awesome. Thank you both.
Yes, thank you, Brandon.
With that being said, everyone, I have a song queued up to leave you with. This is from... A new project, actually, Bossa, B-O-S-A, one of my best friends, Stefan Jacobs, and another gentleman got together and created this new project. And you can actually download this song for free if you go to SoundCloud and you search Bossa, B-O-S-A. This particular track is called Blue Lotus, and I love it. We're all like lotus flowers growing through the mud and sprouting in consciousness and awareness. And if someone's still in the mud, that's beautiful too. Let them be there and you continue to sprout. And with that being said, hope you all enjoy this song. Until next time, journey well. Love you all so, so much.
Sorry.